This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Thursday, May 26, 2016, The Solemnity of Corpus Christi, by Father William Doc Holliday.
For as often as you eat this bread and drink this chalice, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
With those words spoken under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, St. Paul gives us pause to think about what we do when we come together for Holy Mass. It is truly a thanksgiving. It is truly a Eucharist, a thanksgiving that we can all get together and participate in the Mass. But what is the Mass? What is this in which we participate? It is not a celebration of our coming together. It is a celebration of something that someone did for us, the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through all the readings this evening, did you read this from Corinthians, you read the institution narratives, our Lord Jesus Christ never once ever says, this is my body, this is my blood, and isn't it really great that we can all hang out together? He never mentions that. He never mentions the collective nature of everything. It's about the sacrifice that is going to occur. This is my body, which will be given for you. This is my blood, which will be shed for you. That is the Mass. We need to start thinking that when we come to Mass. You need to get a picture in your mind. St. Ignatius Loyola, in his spiritual exercises, emphasizes the necessity of using the imagination in no matter what we think about when it comes to our faith. I always point out the Christmas narrative. We can, Bethlehem, boom, snapshot of the little Hallmark card. Picture the manger and the Holy Family. Absolutely true? Yes. Much more than that? Yes. You've been to a barn. You know what it smells like. You know what's lying around. You know what you could step in. The God of glory left heaven and came out and was born in that. So it's very helpful to engage your imagination when you're thinking about things that are happening in your faith. Every time we gather together, our Lord tells us to do one thing. If you come in here, I don't necessarily have to. It's highly suggested, but I don't have to preach a homily. The thing that we must do is the sacrifice of the Mass. That's what we must do because that is the only thing in Scripture where our Lord Jesus Christ says, do this in remembrance of me. What is this thing we are doing? That we could hear words, oh yeah, it's the sacrifice of the Mass, the representation of the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Do you ever look up here when the canon of the Mass is being prayed and think of what is happening? The reality of when it is said with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven that are gathered all together for this sacrifice. Because it is indeed truly a sacrifice. It is bloodless for us in this world. But it was not bloodless for him. And that's what we represent. And every time we come to Mass, when you hear the words, you should have a picture in your mind, just like the smell of a manger, you should have a picture in your mind of what's happening. I do not do this frequently. I'm going to read something, and it's just not a little couple sentences. It's a story, and take it for what you will. It is a story, but whether you accept the story as objective fact, that's up to you. But I would submit to you that if you believe what your church teaches about the sacrament of the altar, you have to have this picture in your mind at every single Mass. Let me set the stage so I don't have to read a few paragraphs beforehand. Set the stage, little synopsis. Group of monks, early church desert fathers. They hear the words of Jesus and they say, oh, he said, sell all you have and follow me. And they take it very literally. They sell all they have and they follow him. And they live out in caves in the desert. And the only time they come together is for the synaxis, the Mass. Well, again, we're not talking about a parish church. On Sunday morning, it's time for Mass. One of the brothers doesn't show up. All the other brothers are gathered together, and it goes past the time for start of Mass. And where's brother? They wait. He still doesn't come. Brother has to be sick, or he may be dead. Let's go check on him. That's the stage. Coming to the brother's cell, they asked him, why did you not come to church, brother? He was ashamed to tell them why. When they heard this, realizing that this was the evil work of the devil, the brothers prostrated themselves, asking him to reveal the devil's machination to them. Then he declared before them, forgive me, brothers. I got up as usual to come to church, and then my thought said to me, it is not the body and blood you are going to receive, but only bread and wine. So if you want me to come with you, then heal my temptations concerning this statement. Get up and come with us, they said, and we will all ask God to show you the divine power descending. He got up and went to church with them. When the praying started, they made intercession with God on the behalf of the brother, that the power of the mysteries would be revealed to him. Then placing the brother in the midst of the church, they began the celebration of the service. He did not cease to have his faith bathed in tears until the synaxis came to an end. When it was over, they called upon the brother, asking him in these words, tell us if God revealed anything to you so that we too can benefit. He began telling them, weeping as he did so, during the singing of the appointed Psalms, when the teaching of the apostles was being read, while the book of the Gospels was set forth, I saw the roof opened and heaven appearing. Each word of the Holy Gospel became as a flame reaching up to heaven. When the benediction of the Gospel had been pronounced, the clergy processed out of the sacristy carrying the communion of the Holy Mysteries. Then I saw the heavens opened again and fire descending. After the fire, there came a host of angels. Above them, two other virtuous persons of a beauty beyond words, shining like lightning. And there was a small child between the two persons. The angel stood around the holy table while the two persons were above it with the child between them. When it came time for the benediction of the holy prayers and the clergy drew near to break the bread that was offered, I saw how the two persons above the table held the hands and the feet of the child who was between them and grasping a sword, slaughtered it, emptying its blood into the cup that was set on the table. Then they cut up its body and placed the pieces of it on the bread, which then became flesh. I recalled the words of the apostle, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. When the brothers drew near to partake of the holy offering, flesh was given to them, but when they called out saying, Amen, it became bread in their hands. When I came to communicate, flesh was given to me, and I was unable to partake of it. Then I heard a voice saying in my ear, why are you not partaking, man? Is this not what you were looking for? And I said, have pity on me, Lord. I cannot consume raw flesh. Again, the voice spoke to me. If a man were able to consume raw flesh, it would have been found to be flesh, just as you also found it. But nobody can eat raw flesh. That is why the Lord prescribed bread for the offering. Just as in the beginning Adam became flesh at the hands of God, and God breathed into him the breath of life, then flesh separated from spirit came earth while the spirit lived on. So Christ gives his own flesh with the Holy Spirit, the flesh disappearing into heaven while the spirit stays in your heart. If you have believed, partake of that which is in your heart. And I said, Lord, I believe. When I said that, the flesh that I was holding in my hand became bread. Giving thanks to God, I partook of the Holy Sacrament. As the service continued and the clergy came together, I saw the child again between the two persons. Clergy were gathering up the remains of the holy gifts. And again, I saw the roof open and the divine power rising up into heaven. That is the picture of the reality of the Mass. That is what the Mass is the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ again. That is what you should see in your mind's eye when the words are spoken. Particularly when you hear the words from Corinthians that the brother heard when he had his vision. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. What an inopportune time to be looking at each other with a big old grin on our face saying, peace be with you, peace be with you, when that is what is happening on that altar. The Mass is about sacrifice. The only place that that sacrifice occurs is in Catholic churches. And under that umbrella falls the Eastern Orthodox, because they are the only ones that have authority to preside over the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. And when we look at this sacrifice, when you look at the picture, then some of the artwork that you, if you Google search Latin Mass, Tridentine Mass, altars, you'll get these pictures, and there are two that stand out in my mind all the time. One of them speaks loudly of when we ask that the angel take the offering into heaven before Almighty God, because it's a picture of the priest celebrating Mass, and he has the chalice for adoration elevated above the altar. But above him is this massive angel, and he's got this huge chalice, and he's holding it under our Christ crucified, and the blood from the cross is running into the angel's large chalice. There's another one that's a little bit less dramatic in all the different characters there, but it's Father celebrating Mass, and it's at the words of consecration, and he's bent over the chalice, and our Lord crucified, hanging over the altar, and his head is hanging down, and blood is dripping off of his head from the crown of thorns, and it's dripping into the chalice that Father's holding up. That is the reality of what's happening. We emphasize so often the real presence. It goes so far beyond Jesus Christ just being there. Like, hey, it's me, hanging out with the buds. No, he's there being sacrificed again for us in a bloodless way, because we can't take the true forms, just like the brother saw. Why doesn't it really change into flesh and blood? You want? I always give kudos to our First Communion Catechist back there, our First Communion Catechist, Mr. Campese, where I always like to meet with the kids, and he was in here once, and we were getting ready to do the mock run-through of communion. And this little guy, a couple years ago, he sat there, and he started crying when we're getting ready to do that. I mean, he's crying relatively hard. What's the matter, guy? I don't want to drink blood. I was like, excellent. That's what it's all about, because I can work with that. I can work and loosen the reins a little bit and jack that back so the little guy's not perturbed. It's really difficult to deal with, unfortunately, the vast majority of folks that go to church on Sundays and have no clue about the blood. Kind of sad when a 6 or 7 year old little boy knows in his heart what's going on after a few weeks of instruction, good instruction, and people who have lived their whole life in the faith. They don't understand. They don't have the picture in their mind's eye. I pray God that after you leave tonight, you know, our Lord's words again in the institution and in Corinthians, even modern prayers, and when I say modern, I mean right before the bad stuff started happening in the late 1940s, St. Faustina, the Lord speaks to her and gives us the chaplet of divine mercy. For the sake of his sorrowful passion. In English, the word passion lends itself to something really nice. Oh, he's very passionate about that. For the sake of his sorrowful sufferings, have mercy on us and on the whole world. As often as you eat the bread and drink the chalice, you show forth the Lord's death until he come. Period. Not show forth his death and recall how nifty it is to get together for supper. It's not a part of it. It's a part of it that we're here, and we should give thanks for that, hence Eucharist. But we should be giving thanks for the sacrifice that is occurring time and time again on our altars. That's what the picture you should have in your mind's eye. I hope you can never hear Mass again without hearing with those, particularly those words, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us, and not in your mind's eye look up there and see a human being, not the halo and shiny Jesus with the white hair and white robe, the man hanging, broken, bleeding, trying to breathe his last, and the last drops of his blood running out. I hope that's what you see in your mind, because that's what's happened. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.